started now. Danny Z wanted us to start on a high note. And by the way, Rob Harris is here. And Rob, are you enjoying my Diet Coke over there? I think you are. Thanks. Oh, did you? Oh, okay.
You're in the burn category.
Yeah, I'm out.
Hey, listen. Look. I asked.
Does it?
Yes.
Did you drink out of it?
It sure.
Oh, take that straw out of there.
You think the guy who's they named the show after?
No, nope. Last on the list. Oh,
got it. Yeah.
What's the etiquette here? Do I have to use that straw now,
no,
or can
no.
I?
No, don't use
it.
I would
just do a big gulp.
Not with the H1N1.
No, it's nothing personal, Steve. But no way. Okay. Anyway,
no goodies for you,
Danny Zalisco.
Hey, Grant.
Big time music star. Steve Claussen and Seth Salkus here, Rob Harris. Now, Carrie Dozer is not here. She is in Hawaii. Isn't it rough at the Wailea?
Oh, that's bad.
Oh, that's rough.
She's in Wailea?
Tough duty, yeah.
With or without her husband this time?
With. This time? Oh,
well,
okay.
You know.
As far as I know.
I understand they have an open marriage.
Didn't know that. Wow. You're a big Maui guy.
Let's start it up.
You're a big Maui guy. Don't you have a
I
place
love
Maui. In Maui?
And in fact, I think I'll call them and have them go over to Shep's and get a little dinner.
You should do that.
There's a great restaurant there called Mawa that they should go to.
You,
right down the street.
Let's see. If you think of Maui and that that side of Maui, we're kind of on the Hana side there.
That's not the Hana side.
Not that side. Your side.
Hana
no,
side.
That's what I'm saying. Right. I like that Hana side. Hana side. Isn't that a show? For
it's
crime?
Homicide, yeah.
Homicide. Is that when you kill a big fat Hawaiian
funny.
Guy?
That's funny.
Let's do it. Homicide chief.
You go over big there.
You're the homicide chief. That's good. You think Willie Nelson, Chris Christopherson, Oprah Winfrey, Danny Zalisco. All have gigantic spreads
Weird Al, Pat Benatar.
Wow. Weird Al Yankovic.
He's got a place right down the street. Benatar does too. And Woody Harrelson is very much there. All the
they must have good pot.
Oh, are you kidding?
I mean, you heard.
Yeah, you heard. Don't call a Hana side.
That's what I've heard.
Henley's got a place over there, too, that's supposed to be ridiculous.
I don't think in Hana. I think he's on another island.
Come on,
island.
Dude. And Glenn there's
had
a bunch
place.
Of different islands. I don't know
if you And Santana is up by Lahaina.
Oh, really?
He's got a place up there. There's a lot of people there.
Big time. And you're right there with him.
Right there.
Okay, we're going to get to some of your big timeness, but Mark Cordes in the house. And each week now, you're going to start us off with a question, I understand.
Yeah.
That we can just discuss, and we haven't heard the question, so.
Keep in mind that we think you're really funny, though.
Well, let me give a little backstory. I did a speech the other day at a conference on aging. And so, as you can tell, my career is blowing up. There were people, I'm basically a whore. I keep waiting for my stimulus check to come, and it hasn't.
It hasn't.
I keep taking these gigs. So I was watching people from 60 to 90. Mm-hmm. And, 60 doesn't sound that old, does it?
No, that's not old.
It's right around the corner.
Sounds pretty damn young to me.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, here's the question. You've got two options on your answer. Option A is the status quo. You're going to live the way you're living right now. You're going to go through life with the uncertainties, all the little surprises, forks in the road, the who knows what's going to happen. Okay? Option B is, tonight you win the lottery, you win $100 million tax-free. It's yours to do with whatever you want, but you're going to die in 15 years from tonight.
Mm.
So you got 15 years of living it up. You can't die. By the way, that's a guaranteed 15 years. You're not going to walk out of here and get
it. You're also guaranteed no longer than 15?
Longer than 15. But you're not going to walk out of here tonight and get run over by the light rail
and
die. You're guaranteed 15 years, except for suicide. If you put you're not going to be like Unbreakable. If you put a gun to your head, you're
right.
going to die.
That always works. Mm-hmm.
But if but you've got 15 years, 100 mil, or say no and live your life.
Danny and I are in our 50s, so we would make it to 70 here.
Right. I'm 54, so I'd make
Same
it to
thing.
69.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for... Never mind.
Don't even.
Never mind. Okay. Who wants to start? Danny?
You know, this reminds me of another joke.
Oh, God.
Is this one a joke?
No, this is our
this
story.
Real.
This is our
no,
question. We want to know the answer.
What would you do? You want to just live the life you've given?
Mm-hmm. 100 mil, like, that's after taxes.
$100 million.
You got $100 million in the bank done.
Or
15 years. That's
or
not
you
bad.
Could like $6 million a year you could spend.
Or you take your chances.
Or a piano could fall on your head tomorrow and you're dead.
And you get zipped.
Mm-hmm. And leave if you lead the life you're living now.
No, that's a very, very tough question. I'm going to pass that off to Grant.
Steve, we're coming back to Danny.
No, I would just have one question. Living the life I'm living now, do I suffer the normal aging problems as I get older?
Yes.
Okay.
Nothing changes.
Nothing changes.
Okay, but as I get to be 80 or 85, I might need a walker, wheelchair.
Oh, well, that's like that. Not. That,
so, that's life. Whatever. Oh, yeah, okay. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Then in that case, I'll be greedy. I'll take the money and enjoy 15 years.
Yeah. And how old are you?
I would be, what, in mid-60s by then.
Yeah. I would not take it. I'm
inclined to go that way. I mean, I'm
go which way?
You guys have money. I don't.
Well, that's another
that's tough to. Yeah, it's tough to follow up your so my place in Maui. There you go. You know, but I really need the money.
Yeah. I really need $100 million.
Yes.
Although, but now think although of, now wanna, you know, you could do a lot of stuff with
it. No, I know. In 50, in 70, we get to 70. That ain't
bad. Of course,
bad.
$100 million now will be worth $1 billion then.
Yes, now, sure. Think of this. No, think of all the good things you can do for your, not just yourself, your
for
family,
others?
Your heirs.
Mm, screw that.
You could maybe.
You that's could where maybe, you want to get selfish,
yeah, no
right?
way.
You could maybe ensure that guys like Steve don't have bad hips at 85 by
nope.
doing some kind of research.
No.
You want me to have a bad
there's,
hip?
No, there's no reason to. If,
you know
if we're going to do it, we're going to do it because we're going to take the $100 million and roll.
Right.
I'm thinking, though, that this could put a jinx on our chances of winning that lottery.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Your zero chance that you have.
Well,
now.
It's 170, and then when you take it off there, it's about
you get zero. Now, listen. Here's the thing. Let me tell you another reason why I say no. This sounds really good, like, you know, 15 years, you know, 55, you're going to be 70 years old. Well, shit, 70, I mean, that's pretty old and everything. Okay. How long have we known each other? Did you think, if you would have said 55 when we first met, we'd be going, oh, God, that is so old. My God, we're going to be over the hill. Everyone says that their whole life. 70 sounds like, oh, man, if I made it 70, unless you're 70. And then when you're right. 70, guess what? You go, screw that. I want to be around another 15.
I still feel pretty damn young.
I do, too. And, so let's go. We can make it
despite,
on our own.
Despite a few certain setbacks along the way that maybe would have eliminated that.
Yeah. Like when you forgot and that cup in your cup holder was not an oyster, and yeah, that was
and drank it.
Yeah, that was a bad day.
Oh, like, so okay. Steve has said
Steve's a yes. Danny,
I'll say no.
I say no. Mark,
I'm going to say yeah because I'm going to have. It's going to be a kick ass.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah, that's true. And if you can't die,
I'll
other than
what,
suicide,
though, man.
And I'll tell you what, if you'd have been with me at this aging conference last week.
He would have
don't want to be there.
Drooling all over themselves and, you know, guys peeing his pants because he's laughing too hard.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This reminds me when Huey Lewis, about 15 or 20 years ago, remember when David Bowie and Tina Turner did a Pepsi commercial?
Mm-hmm.
Remember? And Huey, all the soft drink companies were crazy with sponsorship dollars and Michael
right,
Jackson,
right.
That's when he set his hair on fire, or they set it on fire purposely, I heard. And I remember.
Would you set your hair on fire, Mark?
No.
Yeah, I would be a Roman candle.
For 10.
For 10 mil.
Yeah. So Huey Lewis
million,
got
offered
10 to do a Pepsi commercial, and his musical ethics got in the way, and he turned it down.
Dumbass. Ooh. Dumbass alert.
So he called me later that day, and he goes, I just turned down $10 million from Pepsi. And I said, what kind of acid are you taking?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what?
He wanted a new drug.
He wanted a new drug, Pepsi.
That
million.
Was it,
you
yeah.
buy a lot of drugs.
No, that's dumb.
Well, now, let me also.
That wasn't great.
Let me also, I should have set this up in the story. For the next 15 years, you're going to live very healthy. You're not going to have any
right.
issues mm-hmm. that pop up. You're guaranteed to
yeah,
15.
It's a tough call. I think.
All right, so, yes.
You know, that's that leprechaun thing talking again. You know,
right.
How does
let's sum it up. Yes, no, yes.
Yeah.
All right.
You know why else? I figure I know you good enough and we've gotten along well. I can touch you for $1 million anytime I want.
Good point. All right. Now that I got your answers locked in.
Yes.
All right.
He's going to start writing checks.
Oh, now he puts a qualifier in.
No, wait.
Okay.
$50 million for 25 years.
I'd go there.
Oh, yeah.
I like that's that last 10 years, Grant.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely take 80? That because you're not going to make 80. To make it to 80 is a good deal.
80 would be tough.
That's an easy call.
Yeah, 50 million, 25 years, it gives me 2 million a year to live on.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute.
My point is,
this reminds
point.
Me of the one where the guy goes to the girl, would you sleep with me for $5,000?
Yeah. Right.
Well, there's a point.
At
some point, you
how about
say
50?
No.
Right.
At some point, the graph of money and months intersect.
Right.
Where is that? Is it 20 years?
Well, it also depends on your age, you know. Steve, are you 40, Steve?
Yeah, I just hit 50 this year. Oh, God.
You just hit what?
You're turning 50 this year?
I did already.
You did?
Yeah.
Punk.
What? How old are you?
He just turned 50 this year.
Can you believe
it? Does his math even work then? Why was he saying
that? He said he's going to be in his 60s.
Oh, I thought he said mid-50s.
Yeah, I did too. Okay.
All right.
No. All right. Okay, well,
you're right. It's all tied into age. Well,
it is. It's tied like in. If you're 20 and you said I'll give you 25 years, I don't think people would take that. But you know, we're older, so we're like, hell yes.
People, I think that would. I mean, you know,
they would. Let me tell you something. There's some guys I hoop with, and they came up with one, and these guys are all in their late 20s, and it was, would you cut off a limb for $10 million?
Get out.
And they all said yes.
Get out.
I would.
No.
I would.
Yes.
Oh, my own.
Would
limb?
You? Yes.
No. Somebody else's.
Absolutely.
Would I cut yours off? Sure. Well, you know, they would.
I'd run you through a woodchipper.
You could use
that Fargo mold.
They're doing a lot of things with arms and legs now, prosthetics, and what you know,
nah.
For $10 million, you're set. You know, did these guys say, well, I won't
you
work
know what?
Again?
10 ain't enough.
Well, they don't know that.
Yeah. I mean,
to them it is, you know.
See, my concern is, as I get older, you know, I don't want to become incapacitated. I mean, I don't mind, like, wearing reading glasses or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's a normal part of aging. But, I mean, I don't want to become, you know, really incapacitated.
Well, you know what? That's really unusual. Most people do.
No, I know. But, I mean, it's amazing when you think about it. Life comes full circle because from the day you're born, you really can't do anything, right? You can't feed yourself. You can't do the bathroom, the whole thing.
When you're how old?
The day you're born.
Oh, okay, got it.
But with each passing day, you can do more and more for yourself. But
yes.
There comes a point in life where there's no point of no
you start
return.
Going the other way.
And with each passing day, you can do less and less
right.
for yourself.
You wind up, same deal.
I don't want to get to that point where
I'm with you. No one does.
Yeah.
No one does.
I got to disagree with y'all on that one. I look forward to that.
You
day.
Do? When someone's changing your diaper and all that shit.
Well, I did it for them. I figured it's about a fair play. Yeah.
Now, I don't have to be circumcised again, do I?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Think of the fun you'll have for the whole family.
That was painful. I couldn't walk for nine months.
Mark, let's do it again. I need a picture of this.
Look, Mark, they restore what you lost years ago.
You know, but the thing is, how many times, you know, so-and-so passed away.
Yeah.
You know, how old was he? He was 86. I'll sign right now.
Yeah.
And I don't even need the $25
I agree with that. And if it's like, Steve said, if it's not, you know, your last 10 years, you're walking around, you know, where's Papa? That's no good.
By the way, when they say.
So you wouldn't know anyway.
That's the thing.
It's a different adventure.
I always had this thing. I know this is the way it would work. I remember I thought of this first when Reagan announced he had Alzheimer's, you know, and Charlton Heston has done that, right? Say, okay, I got it. And, you know, it's going to be,
he's still alive.
Yeah, I think so.
Heston?
Well,
no, he died.
Yeah. So you're like, but they announce it when they're pretty much okay, but it's coming, they're starting to slip a little bit and all that. And so I always thought, well, if that happened to me, I would say, okay, I probably got what? I got, so let's say 9 months from now, I'm just going to start really going downhill. So you would go, okay, 9 months from now, so May 15th, commit suicide. And why not, you know, before the big decline and all that? Do everybody a favor. Kill yourself. The problem is, on May 15th, you'd go,
I'd forget.
What the fuck does that mean? Yeah. Isn't that true?
And where's my gun?
Yeah, where's my gun? It doesn't work. You would have to kill yourself before you got to the point where you were actually slipping. And if you were at that point, what would you say? You'd go, yeah, maybe next week. I'm not doing it now.
Yeah, exactly.
So that doesn't work.
No, as long as you're in good shape. I mean, you know, I don't mind hanging around and, you know, enjoying life. And you accept the fact you'll slow down a little bit as you go.
I know you keep saying that, and everyone, that's true. Everyone feels that way.
No, I know. By the way, I heard.
It's like with news. Find us someone who says, you know what, I'm really looking forward to being totally incapacitated, having a colostomy bag. That doesn't happen.
You know, I came damn close to that, and it wasn't a pretty picture, but I never once thought about biting it.
Yeah, I know. I don't
you know,
think so.
I mean,
but what if there's...
So you would have done it up right there. You would have had, like, rhinestones on your colostomy bag.
You know, that's not really
you would have
fair,
had
as far as you know.
No, I heard a great analogy one time of why life seems to move faster the older you get.
Why?
Okay.
Because it does.
It does.
Every decade goes by about twice as fast as the previous one.
Here's why. When you're 50, for example, and I tell you something is going to happen 5 years from now, it's a long way down the road, but you certainly can envision it. You know, it's like, okay, well, so it's, you know, you can put it in perspective. If you're 5 years old and I tell you something's going to happen in 5 years,
true.
That
no
is
idea.
Your entire life.
Yeah.
And so it's all a matter of perspective.
Very good.
Do you remember
like
going
that?
On?
I like that. Yeah,
we
that makes
go on
sense.
On a family trip when I was growing up, we used to go 2.5 hours to the lake. And I'd be in the back of the station wagon going, oh, my God, 2.5 hours.
That's so long.
Yeah. Are we there yet? Yeah. And it just seemed like forever. Now it's like, you know, you can spend that time in the waiting
room. I always think that time's going by so fast because every week or year, it seems, like somebody comes up with another way for you to multitask.
That's true.
You know, in my lifetime, well, in my business life, when I wanted to move and do one concert beyond Phoenix, and I did Tucson, or I added Albuquerque, or I got to Las Vegas, or El Paso, and whatever, El Paso, we would make up a sheet, and I'd have to call up the guy on the phone and go over every number with him on the phone, because none of us had fax machines, facsimile machines. Then we got fax machines, and then we started being able to fax things, and we got cell phones, and then we got Blackberries, and all this stuff. I mean, everybody expects think of how hard people work now. It's easier to work hard than ever before. But think of how much harder everybody works nowadays.
No doubt.
Than they used to.
You can't ever get away as far as in the business world. As a business person, you can't say I'm out.
Once you're branded as a guy that carries a BlackBerry or a cell phone, they expect to reach you nonstop. I turn my phone off. And you know, hardly anybody knows anybody's home phone numbers anymore. They all know everybody's cell numbers.
A lot of people don't even have a phone.
They don't even
have no reason to have one, really.
Except if you need a landline, and I like having
direct
a
DirecTV or something like that where you need
a landline. Yeah, it's anyway, but
I got to ask Danny here. Let's move. We got some politics we're going to discuss.
What do you got,
Terry? Well, we are going to talk. We're going to talk about Glenn Beck. We're going to talk about John Kyle was on one of the Sunday shows and really was hacking me off, and I'll get to that. Mitt Romney's coming to town, and of course we have the Woody. But I want to ask, I was at the Bonnie Raitt concert on Thursday night, the great Bonnie Raitt.
What a show.
And from with Taj Mahal, and they were both great, really cool. And Bonnie is – I'll tell you something about Bonnie Raitt. We haven't talked since that concert. You've seen her – you're one of the few people who've seen her more than me, you know, for obvious reasons. But I've seen her since, I think I saw her in 73 the first time. So, and I've seen her every chance I could, you know, if she's here, I'm there. Because what else are you doing? I don't know I've ever heard her voice better.
Right.
She, I mean, that's amazing because, you know,
she protects,
she's older than us.
She protects her instrument. She's been
good for her, man. It's
totally
fantastic.
Off of everything for over 20 years. And she used to be a fun, let's get crazy kind of gal.
Now she's an uptight bitch.
No, she's still
kidding.
She's basically the same way.
Right.
But
she seems so nice on stage. I mean, very generous.
She's very nice.
And guess who she did a shout out to from the stage? Danny Z.
I got a nice one, didn't I?
You,
I mean, that was as nice as it gets.
It's as nice as it gets. How he's been promoting her for forever here, and he's a great guy, and just
she
went
whipped
blah,
out
blah,
this
blah.
Beautiful rendition of Angel from Montgomery that I
never
heard.
Yeah, because she said he's a John Prine fan and a friend of John Prine's like I am, and what a great she did the first verse a cappella, which I had never heard before.
She was great.
The fact that she even likes John Prine,
much less me.
Yeah. And you?
Yeah.
No, that's
two goofballs in the same breath.
It's great. Now, speaking of John Prine, is he coming?
He is coming on November 20th.
November 20th. I'm writing that down right now.
Write it down. November 20th.
Is it a Dodge?
It's a Dodge.
Wow. Can we? How can we do there?
What do you mean?
Can he sell Dodge?
Well, we have it set up for
the
walls in
okay.
and the back behind the mixer closed.
Okay.
So it's set up for 2,000.
That's a good crowd. That'd be
Which
great.
Which is what
huh?
Bonnie was set up for.
Okay. Well, it looked great. She had pretty much that many, didn't she?
Yeah. You know, it wasn't as many as the last time, and it's something I wanted to bring up to you. I mean, we've got to put the message out there that people got to get off their butts and get out of
and
their
go.
Houses.
And go. People are going to stop.
You know, how does that show come to town? Think of all the friends we all have between us in this room. And you weren't there. Nobody, but we were there.
Right.
But think of all the friends and all the friends.
Right, you got to go. You got to support the artists.
That show should draw 10,000 people.
I agree.
It makes you feel good to be alive.
Yes.
And happy that you understand what music is about. And we only have so much of a budget, but I should be able to breathe that name of that show.
Yes.
And that's not just because I was putting it on.
No, no.
Bonnie Ray, and I'm, you know.
Danny, you think it's because of the economy? People just.
I think it started with the economy, but you know, you remember back,
you get out of the habit too of going to concerts.
People have found other things to waste their time with, like sitting at home watching House.
Right.
It's free and it's good entertainment, but it's about spending money and it's about wondering if you, I think there's too many people paranoid that they're not going to have jobs next year that are set and they're going to have jobs, but it's in their mind like a little creepy bug. And it goes around there, and it bothers them.
How much were tickets?
They were between 25 and 60.
What? You charged me 80, you 25 asshole.
25 in the balcony. We were down in front.
Yeah.
The reason
how'd
I
get 80 out of the 25 to 60?
But it's like a ballpark.
Well, mine was 25 plus 60.
There might have been, you know, because we saw you coming.
Thanks.
You didn't like the show?
Were you in the all-you-can-eat section?
All right, now, if it wasn't all-you-can-eat. All right, I'm going to do a Mark Cordes question. If you could have your money back or still have the memory of that concert.
Oh, no. Are you kidding me? No, no
get
problem.
Off my
not a problem.
The reason I ask, I think the reason is what we all kind of hit on. Whenever I'm at the Improv, I get people come up to me after the show and go, God, it was a great show. You know what? We haven't been here in forever. Every time we come here, we have a great time. Yeah. And we haven't been here in 3 years. And I always say, well, how come? They go, you know, life gets in the way. You forget about it.
You've got to say, John Prine's coming November 20th. I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
You know why?
You hear it and you buy the tickets.
You buy the tickets. That's what I do with Money Ray. You got to go.
On TV, you'll see people, new movies coming out or new shows coming.
Yeah.
How long ago do they start promoting Curb Your Enthusiasm,
right.
House.
Mm-hmm.
They started in August or July for the new season.
Right.
And that's like every time you're on the NFL,
yeah,
they were promoting
like
the
crazy
new Leno show.
Right.
They did an amazing job of promoting that thing coming on.
When is
basically
that,
you got
when
the
is,
same,
when's that on?
It's
when
already
is that
on.
Started.
What is it?
And you basically got the same old Jay Leno, except you're an hour and a half earlier.
Right.
And I'm getting to 10 minutes to 10 o'clock, and I'm watching Leno going, why am I so tired? I feel like it's 11:30. It's a weird phenomenon, but
yes.
I thought it was late. I'm going, it's only 5 to 10.
Didn't you tell me one time that Phoenix is known in your industry as being a last-minute ticket-buying audience?
It used to be.
Okay.
Now it's just like pretty much everywhere else. People make their plans, and they decide that they're going to go, but it's like you were just saying. You've got
to. Okay, I want everybody out there listening to the podcast. If you don't know, if you know John Prine, now's the time to go. November 20th, get your tickets. If you don't, please, if you like songwriters, he's the best. I mean, he really, there's nobody better. Everybody has their favorites. He's certainly, you know, one of mine. Speaking of which, I have a show for you to go get. Chris Christopherson's new album comes out tomorrow.
I'm working on it. I've been working
come
on it.
Come on, let's go.
I'm working on it.
Keel over. He's like 70.
No, there is one I got. That
you say
that
the coolest 70-year-old in the world.
You better hurry because he took the $100 million. He's only got 2 years to live.
Yeah, right. You know, I'll tell you real quick.
So are you working on it?
Yes, I am. I went to see him and his wife in Hana. It was the only time they let me come
killing
over.
Killing me.
All right?
This is making
so get
me
this
sick.
One. I pull into their yard. And it's in the back, and there's a little turnaround. And they're up on this hill, and it's just a regular house, but it's in Hana, and it's gorgeous, the view of the ocean. And they have about 100 dogs, and they have 100 kids.
Yeah, he does.
So all these dogs come up and jump up on the car when I get there, and he comes out, go on, get out of the way. You know? I get out of the car. We go inside. We're supposed to visit for a half an hour, 45 minutes. We sat for 3 hours.
Nice.
And just the greatest.
Great guy.
Big belly. Yeah, he is. He's always been great. Big belly laughs and everything. We get out. He walks me out to the car, and I get in the car, and I go, where's my keys? I got so excited when he came out to meet me with the dogs, I left the car running.
Oh, no. He must think you're a goose.
Oh, we were laughing our butts
off.
Oh,
my God.
It was fantastic. Wow. While you're talking about concerts, as long as we're here, you always say, I never give you anything.
Yes.
Now, next
no, you
Saturday.
No, you let me pay.
Next Saturday, I'm not going to let you pay, but you have to come to Little Feet at Martini Ranch.
Oh, really?
Saturday night.
Speaking of Bonnie Raitt. She was a big Lowell George and Little Feet fan, right?
I'm gonna do Frank Caliendo's show over at the Dodge, and then I'm gonna race over to Little Feet at Martini Ranch.
Like what time?
Great night. They're going to go on about 9.
Okay.
Maybe like 9 to 10:30 or so.
Hey, you turned me on to that Paul Thorne guy. Was that at Martini
Wasn't
Ranch?
Wasn't he great? No, that was...
Where was that? It was a weird
Maybe
event.
It was, or was it Rhythm Room?
No, no, it was Martini Ranch. I'd never been there, and he was great. But speaking of the Rhythm Room, I want to give you another plug. These are some of my favorite acts. Subdudes.
Are you a big Subdudes fan?
I love the Subdudes. I am going to go, but is that like next week?
It's next Thursday. And it's, and,
no Doors. I'm not going to the Doors.
You don't like the Doors?
I like them. I saw them in Mexico, but they were called the Puertas, and it wasn't as good.
What?
Never mind. That's like a stupid
He got me.
Anyway.
I know he got me.
I want to go see.
No, they're the Doors. I'm not going to the Doors because aren't
the
they all dead?
No, it's Ray and Robbie. It's two out of four.
I don't even know who they are. I only know one of them.
He's dead. You know who the keyboard player and the guitar player is from the Doors?
I'm sorry. I was not a Doors fan.
Okay.
But I am a Subdudes fan.
You can go to the Subdudes.
Okay, now wait a minute.
We booked two shows the same night.
Okay, Rhythm Room, Subdudes. Have you been to the Rhythm Room?
Yes.
Isn't that a cool little place?
Great little place.
It's right down the street from me. Rhythm Room, what time?
I think that's at 7:30 or 8.
Okay, I am definitely going to that. So that's Thursday. It's October 8th.
That's Thursday.
Okay, I'm going to that, and then we'll talk about
Little Feet thing, right?
Okay, I did have the Doors down here. Just
and what about the next week after that?
What? I don't know.
The same night Dylan's playing at the fair.
Oh, yeah.
How great is that going to be?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Corny Dogs and Dylan. Can't beat it.
Wow.
And then later on that night, Loggins and Messina.
Whoa.
Over at the Dodge.
And I think...
I hate booking shows on the same night because I can't beat it.
Either. Bob Dylan, you know, he is obviously one of the all-time greats.
Great.
And here's... If you know the lyrics to the songs... It's a magical night. If you don't, you might as well go see the guy outside Bank One Ballpark mumbling into his cup for quarters.
I was fortunate enough.
You will not understand one word that guy says.
I was fortunate enough to have the show that canceled here, which was Camp and Woodley.
Yeah. Nice word. We predicted that on the show here.
The funny thing was
remember
that.
I asked you about that on this show?
Yes.
That was part
5 p.m.
of
August 20th or something.
That was part of the Melanoma concert series, wasn't it?
John Melanoma was there.
So the funny thing was I asked the people that promoted the show was,
you're canceling you
because of the heat. Oh, then I guess I better tell the 12,000 people coming to Toby Keith on Friday night that it's going to be hot out.
We
had a great time. Look, it gets hot here.
Yeah.
That was the wrong place to do it, but.
Well, and that crowd.
They could have gone through with it.
That crowd, everybody on the stage was over 70.
Oh boy. And Willie said he was getting cooked everywhere in the country.
I bet he was, yeah. And he's fair skinned, isn't he?
He gets cooked in his bus before the show.
He's cooked, all right.
Baked.
Oh, okay.
Baked. Oh, baked. Yeah, baked.
You know what I think is going to be a great show? Especially if I'm the opening act, is Steely Dan.
Ooh, boy.
The Dodge. I'm a big Steely Dan. Right?
Hey.
I got a call into Terry.
It's a good month for shows, isn't it?
All of our.
Yeah, wait a minute. What?
Gordon Lightfoot's coming, too.
Oh, he is?
October 25 at the Orpheum.
Not here.
Oh. And then Steely Dan's two nights later.
I think all of
our. You know what? Gordon Lightfoot is
Asia
really overlooked. He's great.
Gordon Lightfoot makes me weep.
He's fantastic.
When I hear him sing, it's just like all those memories
say,
and all that Gitchy stuff.
Gumi.
That does it for you. What a piece of work.
Alberta Bound.
Seriously.
Remind me to tell you camping joke later.
Your what?
I have a camping joke. I'll tell you off.
Okay, but hey, if you didn't notice Mark's subtle groveling, he'd like to open in some of these shows.
I had a call. I got a call into Terry Burke.
Did you?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, let me.
What do you think? Wouldn't that be awesome?
I think all of the Grant Woods listeners would come to the show.
We have a couple thousand now. We think we're at 2,000. 2,000 people show, it sells out.
For which?
For Steely Dan.
No, we need 4,000 for that one.
Well, two are there for Mark.
Two are there for
you
me.
You get two for Steely.
It may be embarrassing.
Can you
when
draw
they
are you a big fan of theirs?
Yes.
Yeah, he
Mark
will draw. He will draw.
Don Fagan.
You like them?
Becker, Fagan?
Yeah, not a big fan.
Oh, they're so great.
Yeah.
And the whole
so
Asia
good.
Thing.
K-19. Are you still singing that? You pervert.
A19.
You better change it. A49.
Well, it's A13 for Roman Polanski.
Ooh.
A13.
Yeah,
hey,
I know.
That's an interesting one, isn't it?
That's a good case. You want to talk about that?
Yes. I mean, Switzerland, which I thought was totally neutral, blocking him up, and he's a Polish-France citizen.
Yeah. Somehow they got talked into doing that. We'll see what happens there. I predict he'll end up coming back. And
does he beat it?
Oh no! I think they'll do
the
a deal.
That is?
I think they'll do a deal. Yeah, he probably
Thank
does.
Thank you.
Do a PSA.
No, I think he'll do a deal and they'll be done with it. The victim is now 100, and she doesn't want to prosecute.
Right.
And, you know, you got to send some sort of message that people don't just split, because that's not a good deal.
He should have to do commercials that tell people not to do that.
No. You don't do PSAs telling people don't hose a 13-year-old. I mean,
But that was a bad move on his part.
Yes, it was. That's a bad move, but people don't respond. Oh, I did. You know, it's not like
31, 13. He kind of got.
He was 31 years older than her. He was 44.
He's dyslexic. That was his defense.
He ought to have to sleep with a guy that's 31 years older than him.
I think he is going. It is, and so
he should be so spanked.
I think he's going to make a deal, and he'll be locked up for a little while. Maybe not. They may just do time served there. What about Mackenzie Phillips? Now has a book out, and she announced that she's been. She was hosing her father for most of her life.
Well, I think he was hosing her.
Or what?
She had the
same
apparatus.
Thing. It's, no, it, the word know. Goes both ways. The hose doesn't, but the word does. And she also announced that she had sex with her father the night before her wedding. They did drugs, and then...
you know, a lot of the fathers
was
give
that
away
the first
their
time?
Daughter.
No.
Oh, they've been going out.
Her whole life. And so that was one last time before they got married.
That would kind of be bothersome to a groom, I think, once he finds out, even if he's divorced at this point.
No, I know. Someone said that was like, that was the something old for the wedding.
Oh, that's not good.
Something borrowed.
Something blue, something borrowed.
How will this affect the playing of Mamas and Papas on the radio?
It won't.
Nah.
It won't. No, I don't think so. No one gives a shit.
Now, here's something I don't like. John Phillips was married to Michelle Phillips, who was super fine.
And she says, no, that didn't happen. And
so Mackenzie's making it up?
Well, I don't know. But, you know, I do have a problem with, and this is starting to happen more and more often, I have a problem with people not saying anything while someone's alive, and then they're dead, and all of a sudden they can't refute it. Yeah, they can. They start telling all these tales about these people and really ruin their reputation. And, you know, as she's done here, okay? Now, every time you hear that guy's name, you might have thought before, well, he was a hippie, he was a this, he was a that, so what? You didn't think he was like, you know, this is terrible what she's saying. It couldn't be worse, I don't think. What if it isn't true? And she's just trying to sell a book.
I don't know. She's always been pretty level-headed and clear-thinking.
Oh, God.
Yeah, her and her sister, Valerie Bertinelli.
Yeah, terrible. Yeah, Are they really sisters?
No.
No, okay.
Just on the show.
One Day at a Time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who wrote the song, One Day at a Time?
I don't know.
Chris Christopherson.
No, he did not.
Get out of here.
You got me on that
one. One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about
that?
That
wasn't the theme to the show,
That was a hit song, number one country song. Even being a big fan, I didn't know that for a while.
Wow.
Did you get that?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought Schneider wrote it.
Pat Harrington. Yeah, he always opened for Sinatra, didn't he? Or
I don't even know.
Yeah, he was a Sinatra buddy. Yeah, Pat Harrington.
Yeah.
He was good on there.
That's funny.
The show was horrible, though. Not good. Oh. Not good. Okay, let's talk about...
It worked for Eddie Van Halen.
Hmm?
Eddie married Valerie off of that show.
There's a difference between... You're acting like they're the same person.
Mackenzie Phillips and Valerie Bertinelli. No, I'm not. There was a cute one and there was a...
Thank you,
one.
Exactly. One of them's olive oil. No thanks. You want to go for her?
Boom.
Horrible. Okay, I want to mention Senator Kyle because I've been getting a lot of kudos lately from Republicans who are listening to our podcast every week for all my comments. And so we want to stop that. It strikes because it hasn't happened in so long. Senator Kyle, who, you know, is a friend of mine, and I like him, certainly supported him in the past. He was on, I don't know which one, I can't remember now, Meet the Press. And he is now the number two Republican in the Senate. And the issue came to Afghanistan. And he obviously had his talking points, and these are the talking points for most Republicans right now. And his talking point was that he said repeatedly, was what the president needs to do is listen to the generals in the field. Okay? Now, the main guy has come out and said we need to do the same strategy that we did in Iraq. We need more forces. We need to have a surge. We need to get involved in the communities with the soldiers as well and secure the town and all of that. Now, Iraq, I understand, is not Afghanistan. But I would just like to say this for the record, much as Steve recalls on the first days of the Iraq invasion, I happened to be subbing at KTAR and took the position that that was a huge mistake. And if you understand that audience, that was not popular at the time because
you were in the minority.
A distinct minority on that, and I thought it was a mistake all the way through. Now, the surge and all that, then I did think that McCain had a good idea on that because once you're there, we were stuck, I thought. Now, as we talked about last week, I think the president needs to get us the hell out of Iraq. Done. Get out. We just keep hanging around there. I don't believe it's going to get better. I think we should get out. Okay. Now, Afghanistan. This mantra that you've got to have your policy determined by the generals in the field, by the military, has been a mistake throughout history. And in this country in particular, we do not have a military government. The civilians are in charge of the military. The president, a non-military person, is the commander in chief. Now, I'm not saying don't listen to the people in the field. Obviously, you do. But I'm telling you, this is the path that we've gone down, the primrose path, many times listening to these people in the field who, frankly, come from a fighting background and a military background by definition. And I think they talked president after president in Vietnam into sticking with this program. It was a loser on day one, and it was a loser all those years later and all those deaths later. And with Afghanistan, maybe this will work. I kind of doubt it. I think, for example, there is another theory out there that these generals seem to not like, and that is that we minimize our force in Afghanistan, don't get more, get less, and that we start using strategic strikes in Pakistan, if we have to, in Afghanistan, all around the area, and we go front and center at our enemies there, but we do it strategically, not with a big buildup of force, not with this whole same surge mentality that worked in a country like Iraq, but many people don't think will work in Afghanistan. So anyway, I just want to throw that out there, that for you Republicans out there who love this line, just do whatever the generals say, I will say, tell that to Lyndon Johnson and Richard Nixon, because they did what the generals said, and it was a complete fiasco.
And it's still a fiasco.
I
agree with you 100%.
Are you troubled by yesterday they came out and said that Obama and McChrystal have only spoken once in 70 days? I mean, so
yeah.
Is there enough input? Is there enough? I mean, it seems like there should be.
What is the downside to just getting out?
Well, the downside is.
I don't think a lot of people understand.
Well, I think the downside there is. That the and there's a big distinction between Vietnam and Afghanistan and Iraq and Afghanistan, and that the Taliban is very unpopular. For once, we are not the most unpopular people in town. And emphasis on for once, because with those, this is the first time in a long time, our enemies, the ones we were supposed to be there fighting, are not popular anymore. And that tide has seemed to have shifted. But the downside is that if we allow that the Taliban could make a comeback, that Al-Qaeda, who is our enemy, and these are the terrorists, which we see that is a clear and present ongoing threat, as we've seen homegrown across the world, around the world, that they in particular will be able to continue their activities in Pakistan, and that their ultimate goal there is to overthrow the country, the leadership of Pakistan, and if you overthrow Pakistan, then you've got a real problem, because now you're talking about a country with many, many nuclear weapons, and you don't want those in the hands of these maniacs. So that's that idea, is that Afghanistan is, and then you throw in that's probably where the people were from, supposedly, who were behind 9/11, although Pakistan is complicit with that as well, it seems. So, you know, yeah, I think we need to, obviously we got to deal with Afghanistan. The question is, how do we deal with it? And I don't necessarily think, I think it's a difference. I wouldn't have gone in Iraq. We didn't need to deal with Iraq. I don't believe we had an ongoing important national interest in Iraq. I don't buy any of those arguments. I didn't then. I don't now. I think it was a big friggin' fiasco that Bush and his cronies, Cheney in particular, Rumsfeld, talk the country into. Condoleezza Rice, by the way, who gets a pass from people. She shouldn't get a pass. She was front and center on all that stuff. But Afghanistan is a little, we do have to deal with it. The question is, how do we deal with it?
Well, one of the other things, too, with Iraq that was a problem is, you know, Saddam Hussein and everybody did not have anything to do with 9/11. We go in there, we take them out. What we did Iran one of the biggest favors anybody's ever done.
Yeah.
Because before, those two were at loggerheads.
Yeah.
You know, they countered each other's moves. And they were concerned with each other. Now that we've taken Saddam Hussein and Iraq off the table for Iran, you've seen what's happened with them trying to flex their muscles.
And that's going to be, most people think that's going to be the big next international crisis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do we do? And it's probably not going to be what do we do, what does Israel do?
Right.
And if Israel launches an attack, one, it's very difficult, I think, tactically for them. It's not like they can just go blow up one thing and they're done. Or they probably would have already done that. It's going to be, you know, they're not dumb in Iran. They've seen this coming for a long time. They've got a lot of things hidden. They've got things all over the place. It's going to be a big mess. And that, my fear is if that happens, and I'm saying maybe it's going to have to happen. I don't know. As you said, I think we set the table there by blundering our way into Iraq. But if that does happen, then it's going to be open season on the United States, because anything Israel does, we get blamed for around the world. So whereas I think Obama has played a key role in, and just our change in foreign policy has helped kind of temper a lot of the anti-American attitude out there, it'll be worse than ever if that happens. And so that's probably, you're right, that's probably the most worrisome thing. But this bit in Afghanistan, I hope, you know, let me tell you one other analogy to Vietnam is, you know, this report was leaked to the New York Times. This report saying that the general says we have to, we're going to lose in Afghanistan if we don't send in more troops. Who leaked that? Well, that was a military leaked it.
Oh.
And they did that all the time in the Vietnam years because they think they're going to jam up the president. Now the table is set. If he doesn't do it, it's your fault we lost. There's a terrorist attack. It's your fault, Obama. So guess what Obama did here? He's a pretty smart guy. He said he didn't take the bait. He said, "Okay, I am going to study this. I'm going to look at all my options. And I'm going to look at this report. I'm going to talk to a lot of people, and we'll see what he does. I don't know what he's going to do, but they jammed him up. What he didn't do was just to do the knee-jerk reaction." To get the heat off of him and say, okay, we'll send in more troops. So I give him credit for that. But the military, they're a tough crowd.
Yeah.
Let me say one last thing on that. Because I had this same thing. When I was attorney general, this is an analogy, obviously, but when I was attorney general, I had not prosecuted. It was, you know, it was unusual. I got elected. I had been a defense lawyer, but I had not prosecuted. And that's a different world. And I went into an office. There are 3,000 people there. We had 300 lawyers, 1,000 people, 300 lawyers, sorry. Many of whom were prosecutors, investigators, the whole gang. This is what they'd done their whole lives. Then you throw in the police and people who have been detectives their whole lives, and we all sit in a room. And it's all of them, meaning about 20 people, and me. And they tell me unanimously why we have to do this. Okay? And I'll just tell you, I was much better equipped for those situations 1 year in, 2 years in, 3 years in than I was first day. Very difficult first day to sit up and go, oh, no, you're all wrong. I'm right, even though I've never done this before. Obama's in the same situation. He wasn't in the military. Like a McCain, they're not going to pull one over on him. Obama, he'll be better as time goes on, but back to the talking to the generals. I'm telling you, put yourself in his shoes. Obama's just a regular guy. You know, he's very smart. Give him all the kudos. But he has zero experience in this area. That general's going to tell him, you do this. You've got to do this. And if you don't do this, the world's going to come to an end. It's very difficult for you to say no. Now, what you do is what I think the president's going to do. He's going to talk to other people.
I read a quote that's
not easy.
Robert Gates, the defense secretary, that I thought was very telling. And he was talking about, you know, in briefing with President Obama, he said that, he wants to know everything. He's very analytical. He's very deliberate in his process and that he asks a lot of questions and he's very much engaged. And, you know, he takes his time to make his decision. And he put in, and this was an offhanded slap, if you will. He goes, you know, I'm not going to compare him to other presidents. But then he goes, I really enjoy working for this president.
Right.
And it was like, that line, it was like, why'd you throw that in there? That said something to me.
Well, you know why.
Well, I know why.
Because the guy, the previous guy, was not deliberative.
Yeah.
He was more knee-jerk.
But Gates was saying Obama... Really,
by the way, he had no experience either.
No.
Zero. I mean, if you look at these presidents, he had zero experience. Well, when we take governors, they have no experience.
Yeah, the last three. I mean, Bush, Obama, Clinton, you know, George Herbert Walker Bush clearly had,
he had
tons
of
experience.
And Reagan, by the way, he did a hell of a job.
Yeah.
He doesn't get enough credit. George Bush won.
Oh, I agree.
You know, the way he handled that whole Mideast crisis there, I thought was pretty masterful.
The way he handled the first Gulf War was
fantastic.
The way it should have been done. Yeah. It was excellent.
Right. Okay, now, along those lines, before we get to the Woody, because that will lead us into another topic, Mitt Romney is in town this week.
Wow.
He's having a big event to reacquaint himself with Arizona, and I'm sure it's a coincidence he's going to be here.
You going?
I don't think I can go. I probably would have if I could have. I mean, I just have something else I have to do.
Where are they doing it?
I think Rhythm Row. Was it Rhythm Row? Yeah, Subdues.
Joel thinks
it's Subdues? Yes, he is. No, I think it's at... It might be over the ballpark or something.
If Mitt Romney were at the Rhythm Room, sure. I would go to
That's
see him
That's the
there.
Story. Okay, let me digress. I just got to tell you this one time. I don't know if you know this, but it's better than Mitt Romney at the Rhythm Room. This was several years ago. We could figure out when, but so my oldest son was in college. Yeah, he was in college, and at Arizona State. And Bob Dylan was at the State Fair at the Coliseum, right?
I remember.
Yeah. Okay. So
I don't remember the year though.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago, but you know, 6-7 years ago,
this
eight,
decade.
8 years ago. Yeah, and I'd already been to the fair with my younger kids, and when I go every year, my entire life I've gone since I was 3. I love the fair. You either love the fair or you hate the fair.
People haven't been to the fair, but that's another topic.
Most people hate the fair. I understand that. I love the fair. I love everything about it. And I love Exhibit Hall, one of my favorite places. So there is more. It's all shit you don't need, and you buy it. Generally don't use it again. I got more shit to clean my sneakers and make them look new. Never use it again. Lose it. But anyway, I'd gone in there with my little kids and sitting there amidst the Ginsu knives and the choppers and the guys giving massages and all that is a little table. Ev Meekum.
Yeah.
Governor Meekum.
Wow.
Selling his book about how he got screwed. So I talked to him then, and we always got along fine. He was actually very nice. So I remembered that with the college guys when I'm coming back like 4 or 5 days later. And so Bob Dylan's going to start in, you know, 45 minutes, and I actually did have an extra ticket. So I said, hey, guys, you got to meet Ev Meekum. And they were like,
you brought Ev to Bob Dylan.
Wait a minute. No, but close. I tried. I get an A for effort here. I said, you got to meet this guy. And so we roll in, and here's these like four big college students, you know, and he stands up. He's a little tiny guy, and as a governor, I want you to meet these guys. Here's my son, Austin, and here's his buddies. And, hey, how you doing? Good to meet you. Hi, boys. Good to see you, boys.
Bye-bye, Carl.
I said, Governor, let me tell you something. Look, have you been here all day? Yeah, well, I have, Grant. Well, here's the thing. I got an extra ticket here. Why don't you come with us? Right over there. We'll just walk right over there. It's not very far. Let's go see Bob Dylan. How about that? Ev Meekum of Bob Dylan. It would have been so great. And he goes, oh, man. I don't think I could do that, Grant. I don't think so. I don't think I like that Bob Dylan. He's not my kind of guy.
You should have said Boxcar Willie.
I don't know who he would have liked.
Yeah, good point.
Pat Boone. He couldn't do it. He didn't really consider it. And the people in front of us.
Isn't that one of those things when you throw the offer and float it out there, you wish you'd pulled it back?
Yes. Like, for about 5 seconds, he thought about
Holy
it. I would have taken him. And you know what? The people right in front of us lit up a big joint right in the middle of goddamn concert. And here's Ev. If he would have been there, oh, my God.
That would have been awesome. Were you Attorney General at the time?
No.
Oh, this is after.
Yeah, after.
So you could.
Remember I had him on the radio one time
fair. We were at the State Fair, and Ev was in there selling his books. And I went in and said, hey, Governor Grant's out here, you know, doing the show. And he came on for like 45 minutes with you or something like that.
He was insane on that show. Yeah. Normally he was okay, but he was okay because I never talked to him about politics.
Right.
After he was governor. But Let me tell you the surreal thing about that show. Yeah, we did a radio show, KTR, live over there. One, we were across from the stage where they had people lip-syncing to heavy metal bands.
Perfect.
And it was loud, so you'd have to put these earphones or headphones on and hope it would drown out the music. But you could hear Metallica and all this other shit going on while you're talking to Ev Meekum. Weird, okay? And then you remember right off the bat, I said something, what's your book about, or whatever the hell I asked him. And he went into this thing about, well, Grant, you should know, of all people, you were Attorney General, so I know you know, the Phoenix 40, you know, that's who ran me out of office, because they were all involved in the drug business, and I was going to get rid of drugs in this state, illegal drugs, and they were all involved in it, every one of them. And, you know, my plan was just let the guy say whatever he said. Then he said that, and I said, what are you talking about? Remember that? I said, what are you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Phoenix 40, you mean like Jerry Colangelo, Keith Turley? They're in the drug business?
They're big heroin runners.
You're insane. And he goes, oh, no, you know better than that. I said, stop saying that. I do know that you're insane to say that. Stop saying that. None of those people have anything to do with drugs. Why are you saying that? Well, I guess you just don't want to talk about it. Oh, my God.
Ev was right.
Unbelievable.
Jerry Colangelo did draft a lot of guys that knew a lot about drugs.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other story.
But he's not complicit.
Yeah. No.
For all his problems, he was actually, you could get along with him.
I'd
in
say
terms,
he's very
yeah.
nice, but then he'd say stuff like that. Yeah. What? Why are you saying that?
I am
that?
Always very paranoid of guys with no lips.
Now, did he pass away?
He's gone. He died two, 3 years ago, yeah.
He really didn't do that. I just made it up. He's dead.
Yeah. Way to go. I see that with McKenney Phillips right after this.
Yeah, she's up with him on your way. Yeah.
He had like Alzheimer's at the end and then died at the veterans home up here.
Yeah, he did. Are you ready to do this?
Wow.
Can hand that to Danny, because this will get us to our final topic.
I'm Walter Lance.
But the Ed Meekum quotes will live on in history.
He was not good. Well, just remember this about Ev. He was impeached, indicted, recalled, and out in 1 year.
That's hard to do.
Now, I don't care who you are. If you're Charles Manson, it's hard to do the trifecta in 1 year. You know, that's really tough.
Yeah, but we got to have Rose Mofford discovered as a result.
You know, she was fine.
I like Rose.
And some of those, I don't think he should have been impeached, by the way, and I don't think he should have been indicted either. My predecessor, I think that was all political. But he should have been recalled. And this is one of those, you got to win all three. Okay. All right, ready for this?
Yes.
I hate to break Steve's heart. Jay, no, it's not Jay Leno. Didn't he already win? Yeah, he did. No.
Jay Leno won one?
No, yeah, he won.
For what?
For his horrible show. Didn't we give Jay Leno? Maybe we did.
No,
we should. Yeah, we should. That's right.
You don't like the new show?
No.
Okay. Hey, that's a no.
Are you ready? Don't get into it. He's like a Jay Leno freak, so we don't even want to talk about it.
I like the thing he did about ghosting.
Please.
Yeah, very funny.
Please. Hey.
I'm sorry. It was one of the best bits.
What, that car wash bit?
No, ghosting.
Thank you. All right. This week's Woody goes to the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh.
No. I'm not getting off the bandwagon. I want to make that clear. I'm firmly on the bandwagon and have been through many horrible, sweaty, surrounded by Cowboy fans days at Sun Devil Stadium. Since Big Red was a high school kid in an Elmo costume, back when the team and the beer was cheap. But seriously, what in the hell is going on here? Ever since the moment that Larry split the backs and galloped for a touchdown late in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, Cardinals have barely shown up. A horrible preseason, a horrible opening loss at home, reprieve in Jacksonville, and then back to the trash heap on national television at home against the Colts. This week was especially grim. Mike Gandy looked like he was doing the Cotton Eye Joe while Dwight Freeney was spinning around him. Hey, Gandy, that's Kurt Warner behind you, not Charlie Daniels. Freeney should have thrown a quarter in Dansby's helmet as he blew by that toll booth. And our secondary, I don't know if you noticed, sucked again. Dominique Rogers Cromartie. Come on, dude. You've got to man up. Is that a hyphen in your name or a hymen? Seriously.
Whoa.
I haven't.
Whoa.
Man up. I haven't seen so much peeking since watching Cordis when Carrie wore a low-cut blouse. Come on. It's not good. Okay?
That's on her blog.
We're only 1-2. No time to panic, but these guys have gone into a full-blown coma since the Super Bowl. Time to snap out of it. So consider this a wake-up Woody, a slumber stiffy to prod you out of hibernation and into the real world. Lively up yourselves, oh dreadlock ones, and let's get on with showing the world the last year was not a fluke. The Arizona Cardinals get the Woody.
Wow. Now, you see, you laughed at
me. Is that a hyphen?
Or a hymen? Wow, that was
Please don't tell him anything about our show.
No.
By the way, how many hyphens?
Shit out of me.
We got to lead the league in hyphens.
Wait a minute. Here's something I want to know.
Got that running.
How does a guy get a hyphen?
Well,
you can't decide.
Did he marry somebody and say we're going to do the
guys who do that, and there is a very prominent Republican politician.
John Odom Lennon?
No, he's a lottery director now.
Is that what he does?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said that, and I said it to his face. I will not vote for a guy who takes his wife's name. Okay, if your wife keeps her own name, I'm all for that. I got no problem with that. I understand that. But don't take your wife's name. Okay, so it's not, you know, Grant Galan Woods. No, that's weak. Okay?
Your wife told me you did that.
No, I didn't do that, and I would not do that. And this guy, he's a nice guy,
Jeff Hatch Miller.
Yeah, what is his name, Hatch or Miller?
Jeffrey Hatch Miller.
No, but who's Hatch and who's Miller? See, we don't know. It's confusing. And so this guy, Rogers Cromartie, what is that?
Maybe his dad
did that, and now he's Rogers Cromartie. The whole family's plagued with this.
Well, then it's not his fault.
Okay, sorry. No, that's true. We need to get to the bottom
of this. A lot of these guys, what it is they don't know their biological father.
Then they know this is true. Yeah.
They take the man in their life's name, and then they get reacquainted with their birth father.
Is that true?
And then they use both names.
I have never heard of that.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of
people are making that shit up. That is not true.
There's 10 in the league.
Yeah, nobody has that poker face down better than you.
Yeah, that is not true.
Well, he's not married. He's not taking.
You're pulling Baudelaire.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe his dad did that.
No, it's like Maurice Jones-Drew with the Jacksonville Jags.
What's his story?
I don't recall the exact details, but he did it when he was at UCLA. I think it was Maurice Jones at that.
To his real father.
His grandfather who raised him. So he did it in the UCLA game.
Whatever. I don't give a shit what he calls himself.
He's got to
actually get somebody in his sights and
guard him. Well, this is even weirder. On my first marriage, my wife wanted me to take her name. Mm-hmm. She wanted me to be Julie. And I'm like, that's stupid.
No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Hey, how bad was that yesterday?
Oh, dude. I was driving back to Tucson. I DVR'd it.
Yeah?
Because I had a gig in Tucson last night. I drove back laughing at how bad it was. Mm-hmm. I watched that whole game in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Now, you guys laughed at me before the start of the season, and I said the Super Bowl jinx is going to hit the Cardinals, and it has.
Or hit the Steelers, too.
Wait a minute. What were they after 3 games last year? Does anybody remember?
I don't know. They look the same.
1-2.
No, actually, was it 1-2?
Well, yeah. What was 1-2 or 2-1?
They weren't looking so hot at the beginning of last year.
But all of a sudden I realized
that they were possibly going to be in the playoffs. I was going, oh.
Yeah, I know. No, they looked like shit. They had a lot of terrible games, but we just got our hopes up. And here's the thing, as I pointed out there, let's just keep some perspective. Everyone said, oh, the preseason doesn't mean anything. I understand that. But they looked horrible in the preseason. Yeah. They're horrible. And then we go to the first game, and that was a disaster. And by the way, the thing we talked about here, my view anyway, was that their offensive line was the worst I'd seen in years in that first game. So you thought, oh, okay, that was an aberration. They came back in Jacksonville. What the hell? Last night? Well, Kurt Warner.
A couple of points for you. Number one, last night, in playing the Colts, they played what I think are one of the three best teams in the National Football League right now. I think the New York Giants and the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Ravens may actually be the best team of everybody right now. They're awesome. But the other thing is, the big problem for the Cardinals right now, they are 0-2 at home.
That hurts.
That is huge.
Mm-hmm. No, we're in trouble.
They go on the bye this week, and they
I'm glad we got a bye. They got to get their shit together.
Yeah, it's a problem right now. It's a serious problem.
Who do we play next?
They have a bye this week. They come home and take on Houston, so that's it should be a win. But then they go on the road, I believe, at the New York Giants, and then at Chicago, I think. You may have the schedule wrong.
Okay, one last thing on football, though. Two things. One, Arizona State.
Tough loss.
Brutal. A brutal loss.
They had it.
Well, no one knew how they were because they played, you know, Westwood and Maryvale their first two games, and they did well.
School for the
blind. So then they went to Georgia, and played them, had it the whole way, came down to the end, couple minutes left, kick a field goal to take the lead and probably win the game, blocked.
If they have
and the other team comes down, they made the field goal, and so we lost on the last play of the game.
If they have their All-American kicker,
yeah, we win.
Probably win the game.
Yeah, I know. You're right. Yeah, we had a freshman in kicking. So that was a brutal loss. So the good news, I'd say the good news is we didn't know how good Arizona State was, and they're all right. I mean, they obviously have a team.
Have you heard the heat around that freshman linebacker, that mm-hmm. Burdick, what's his name?
I don't know. I haven't followed him that closely.
This kid, he's a local kid. True freshman, linebacker, 6'3", 245. They say he's the best prospect since Ray Lewis.
Wow.
That's
Dennis Erickson said that. And he said, I had Ray Lewis. And he goes, this guy's the
really?
Next Ray Lewis.
How about our quarterback? That was the first game I'd seen, and he looked like he was a fullback.
Yeah.
And he actually threw like one.
So, yeah.
Yeah, man, that guy's good for a runner who's throwing, but he's our quarterback. I don't know.
Well, maybe he'll come around. He's the next Ray Charles.
He may be. Okay, lastly is, how about Brett Favre?
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
That's one of the greatest plays I think I've ever seen.
And he didn't know who he was throwing to.
That was an insane throw and catch.
Yeah, Percy Harvin was supposed to be the receiver on that play, but Percy, I guess, was gassed from the previous play.
Better lucky than good?
So
no, I think he laid it out there in the one spot.
Yeah.
And he gunned it, man, because that was such a distance that that's almost impossible to do that. And then a hell of a catch.
Yeah, Brett deserves all the credit, but Greg Jones, equal credit on the catch there.
No, both of them. It was absolutely – that play ain't going to work one out of 50 times.
Tapping feet down.
Oh, my God. That was
I turned
great.
To that game just as they were getting ready to throw that. I'm going like, did he get it? You knew that was going to be replayed.
It. Oh, absolutely.
But it was an incredible, incredible catch.
That was another thing in the State game, by the way. Georgia got a touchdown taken away from him, and that looked like it was a touchdown. I don't know if you saw that, but same thing.
But
got the feet down. Yeah, I don't know.
But Favre,
he
earned his legacy.
Now, Danny, do you think that's a show?
That's a show.
I think that's a show.
I like, and for me, the highlight was the hymen.
Man up.
Woo! Is that a hymen in your name or a hymen? No good.
That's the mark. You've just gone Kent. When you wake up, you're going to use rubber hand out of your ass.
All right.
Can you tell anybody? Yes or no?
I kept it quiet for as long as I could.
Yes or no?
No.
Wow.
You want to go camping?
Delayed. Come on.
Quick study.
Why?
Particularly you two alone in camp.
Quick study.
Boy Scout camp. That brings back memory. Well, makes my ass bleed just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You guys didn't even talk about it.
So how was your wingding at your house the other night? Jeff back to the
morning.
Was it fun?
No. You know, he called...
Jeff Becker?
Mm-hmm.
What about
him? He was in my law school class.
Yeah.
And we...